Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. Except for today, we're going to talk about sports a lot, because that's what I want to do with my buddy here. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. Trey, we are so lucky to have on a variety of guests way smarter than we are to share their industry and life expertise. Today, I'm so pumped. Second time guest. I can call you a friend, right?
Please.
That's my guy.
I hope so.
Mr. Daniel Murphy. Officially retired baseball player, or still?
Retired is a fancy way to say you couldn't do it no more. So that's, yeah.
I love it.
I'm done playing.
You could still beat all of us in baseball for sure.
Well, civilians, yeah. Most civilians.
You calling us civilians?
In baseball only, not like in business or the health industry, not at all. I'm a civilian there.
But more important than baseball, everyone knows you as a baseball player, I think, right? If they don't live in Jacksonville, incredible husband, incredible father. Philanthropist, like you're a good dude. You may not say it, but like I'll say, you're a good dude.
Well, I appreciate that intro, and I think coming off of celebrating Jesus's resurrection, I'll take that as
Amen.
Hopefully just paying enough attention to try to give God glory in
yes.
what we do.
All right.
So,
how was your Easter, by the way?
Oh, it was really good. Yeah, it was really good. Went to church on Sunday. My parents came over. Had a good dinner, and honestly, ended up being leisurely. We just kind of hung
Low
out.
Low key.
Yeah.
Where that's do you go to church? You don't have to share that, by the
no,
way.
Is
that a personal
right. yeah,
question?
Yeah, right now we go to Christ Church East on okay. UNF campus.
Yep.
Oh, let's
and
go.
So it's
Sweet.
Just right out the back door. We're right off of Kearney.
Yeah, very close. Uh-huh. We got a lot of UNF guys in here, but we, you know Clayton Baird, I think.
Yeah. Clay, yeah.
He's good. We uh-huh. didn't make it down to see him on Sunday, but.
Okay. So Jude, his son, flag footballs.
Yep,
yeah.
The flag football
Yeah, with
team.
Us, yeah.
So we should mention, we've had the same kids playing flag football for a long time. I felt bad last Saturday. It was 62-12.
Yeah, I think that...
Not healthy.
No, I think that the spring season has turned into more kind of like Sandlot style. But like Matt Hastings, who's been doing it, whose yep. son on there, Colin, I like what he's doing with the boys. He's letting them call their own plays,
yeah.
and you're encouraging
Ooh,
them to do that as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And so that aspect of it, I really enjoy. And then you can only run the ball once you get up so much. So there was...
Yeah, you get a mercy rule. You can only run the ball in flag football. So. And our kids, like the kids we have on this team are stacked.
We touch more footballs than every other team we've played so far.
They're fast kids. So when we hand the ball off, like just run the ball, they're running 40, 50-yard touchdowns every time. It's crazy, man.
Ah, you guys are those guys.
We're not.
Right now,
not
so
just
far.
Hey,
right
that's
now.
A good thing, though. You're raising the bar.
I think to me, it's great parents that are engaged, love it. Great group of kids. Mm-hmm. I love coaching sports. Let's start there. Like,
yeah.
Do you enjoy coaching sports now?
Yeah, youth sports.
Youth sports.
Like, yeah.
Middle
yeah.
school, high school.
And I'll preface this by saying, in flag football and in baseball, we have the most wonderful parents. But I love coaching when there's less parents around.
Oh.
Like, I just love
oh,
watching the kids just really express themselves. Because sports give us problems to solve, and it's great fun, and you'll be surprised at how creative children will be at solving problems if I don't give them a way to solve it, like how I solved it. Now, maybe my problem and how I solved it in baseball, it works in some capacity, but it may and it could just prevent a child from solving it in a way that nobody has even ever thought of. And so there's a creativity to them in their play. That I really enjoy watching. Like, they have wonderful style. Like,
what age kids do you not want to coach? Like, would you coach high school ball?
Yeah,
or
any of them.
Any of them.
Yeah.
As long as the parents aren't. Let's like
not on around, but just...
overbearing parents.
I think that it would be in the best interest of parents to enjoy their children's play. Watch and enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Yeah. Because
that's what I'm trying to do. Now, in certain areas, like baseball, like I have an idea of, like, I'm not, I want to teach you how to play, but I could teach you how to hunt, too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can teach you certain places where you can be, where you're like, you can just, you know, drop your fangs on them, which is good fun as well. And so, but I don't like to teach them how to throw or how to hit. I don't like messing with style. Like,
let it be natural.
Just, your style is your style. And I want you to go out there and do it, because I think it'll be more fun. And I think it'll allow you to voluntarily want to play more. And
I love this. We talk about this all the time. I'm looking at two dads over here. I want you to scoot over so I can see you, Dan. A lot of us overcoach, right? Talk about the punching concept, throwing and hitting. I've heard this a bunch.
Yeah,
but these are for dads. Any dads listening to the coach.
Well,
we overcoach them.
any of it, like in overcoaching or just being more involved, is like because we want the best for him. Like, I want you to have this result. Like, running the bases and getting hits and striking people out is the funnest.
Yes.
And so I want that for you. But I found in my career that the best way to get that is to do it freely. And the best way to do it, and you're talking about punches, I think that basically when you throw the ball or when you kick a soccer ball, you are throwing a punch or you're throwing a kick, like legitimately. And so one thing I'll do we have is, especially with the younger kids, I'll tell them, I was like, you ever punched your dad before or punched your brother? And they're like, yeah. You can tell the ones who have older brothers and sisters. Yeah. They're like, yeah. I go, all right.
All the time.
I want you to take this ball and throw the biggest punch you got. And you, how naturally they move when I give them a task to accomplish, as opposed to possibly, hey, put your shoulder here and your elbow here.
Big step.
And your feet here. Oh, and it's like, I just want you to throw a giant punch. And I'm never surprised when they miss the ball or throw it away, ever. Because I did that a lot in my career. So I'm never surprised. They spend 30 hours a week in school, so they're not accurate. But the best way to get more accurate isn't for me to like teach you how to do it specifically. It's just to encourage you to throw more punches with your
more
style.
More reps.
Yeah, more reps.
Free play. We talk about that too.
Oh, I love free play.
I love free play. Mm-hmm. Not organized. I like organized stuff too. But Trey, you're chomping at the bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, quick question in regards to, sorry, it's going back to flag football, but you mentioned the kids calling the plays. Mm-hmm. How are they? Are they doing it through wristbands? How's that all happening?
So,
I just want to know.
It's a good question. I don't know if you did this because I missed the week before, but kind of Matt, one of the other coaches, gave them like five just standard plays. Like, here's
same
two runs.
Same plays we run
run all the time. Yep. The X is like one that's a staple for us. So an X run, but you can run certain plays off of that. So they gave them like four or five plays that here's your base, but if you want to set an X formation and run a pass,
I forgot the names of them. They had fun names.
They had some names.
Like giraffe and flamingo.
Yeah, I was like,
our kids are mm-hmm. are
balling.
We've
got the cam, the case and special.
Case and special, yeah.
You know, one of them's to the center. That might be the cam special.
yeah,
the center play.
There's a bunch.
So that's kind of like a couple little base ones.
Do you think they almost get more encouraged and more excited when you put them in charge of it?
Oh,
like
for sure.
It's just like, yeah, now we're in charge. Like,
I think that when they're an authority and they see it kind of work out and then voluntarily get to choose their own plays and kind of set them up, I think that's more fun.
These kids, we hit fundamentals so much. Like, have you played flag? By the way, your buddy started I-9. This is an I-9 league we're talking about, Dan.
Okay, good.
One of his best friends started I-9.
Ramsey?
Yeah, that's right.
Doug, okay. Yeah, JU.
No, this was Brian Similian. He started I-9 down, all over Duval County and the surrounding area. And got that going. But he's a good friend of mine.
Okay,
he's
awesome.
It doesn't matter. We love it. The kids, to me, it was fundamentals. Like good snaps, good handoffs. Now, let them run their own practice.
Yeah.
Free play.
Well, early on, you did a wonderful job of explaining. If, when the ball touches the ground, that's it. Everything's dead.
Yep.
You get no play.
Yep.
So immediately was handle the ball.
Yeah.
And we like encourage that. Like if we ran a play and we got a 5-yard loss on a run, but the rock didn't hit the ground on the handoff, it's like that's a celebration. You know what I mean? Not a way to keep it off the ground. Not a way to handle the ball, boys. Like that's the type of coaching that we had going on at our flag. And so it's more encouraging and also take the meat, the good things from the previous play, which is like, hey, the ball didn't touch the ground, and now get ready for the next one. All right, there you go. On coach Eric, huddle up, get him on you.
Do you guys find that when, obviously, you're dominating...
We're talking all about coaching so far.
This
is great.
You're dominating some of these teams, but like, let's say you meet up and play them again 4 or 5 weeks later. Are they kind of like picking up things that you guys are putting out?
We are 0-2 in the last two championships because our boys got a little shaken.
Yeah, I think it started moving kind of fast. And so, we've lost two championship games, really good ball games.
Incredible.
And I would say they were... You know, right on a razor's edge, it could have gone either way. We just end up on the wrong side of a play, really, honestly, play or two.
Oh, yeah.
But you can...
like real football.
Yeah, which I think has been really beneficial for them to just feel like the pressure.
Sure.
Because it's free play is fun, but also at a certain point, you're going to want to win a ball game that's going to be close. You got no choice with that. And so the more chances you're in it, the better off you'll be when that comes up again.
Winning by mercy rule in any sport... I don't think it's not fun after a while. Like you want a close game.
Yes.
You got to lose.
Hell
you're going to lose in life,
game.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of coaching talk to start, which I love.
Coaching is good, man.
It's like parenting.
It's it's real life. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of dads in here too. That's what I'm giving us all. Whatever you got. Baseball season this year. Who is surprisingly good in the Major League Baseball and who is surprisingly bad?
So I would say the surprises of being good right now, and it maybe shouldn't be a surprise, but San Diego's playing really well.
Yeah.
And there was kind of a belief that that the Dodgers might just run away from the division with how good they are.
Yep.
And they're playing good too, but San Diego and San Francisco, because there was kind of thought that San Diego would sell some players off. And then who's not playing? Atlanta?
The Braves.
The Braves.
Oh, I think sorry, is Dan. Local Dan's here. A big yeah, Braves fan.
And they're coming back and playing better, but you know, it's difficult start, and they're not healthy, so they're kind of trying to survive until they get some players back.
Yeah.
So those would be a couple of them.
How much are you still doing for the, like, are you aren't you leaving town this weekend to announce some games? You're so good on the radio.
I appreciate
speaking
that.
Like,
yeah, I got to do Hicken here locally and 1010XL the drill
buddy.
With Jeff Prosser. And then I'm heading up this weekend to do the Nats series with the Mets. So calling that game for SNY in DC. Yeah, so it's a 4-game set. So I'll leave.
You're doing all four?
All four of them.
Any kids going with?
No, they're not going to make it up. Tori was thinking about coming with the kids.
Yeah.
It would be a bit. She's going to head down south to celebrate. Her brother just passed through being a police officer. So he went to police academy. And so he got that. So
what's his first name?
Tanner.
Congratulations, Tanner.
Yes, congrats,
that's
Tanner.
A big deal.
Really big deal.
Yeah.
Super courageous of him.
Yep.
He was an educator and worked in the school system for probably the last 10 or 15 years.
And pivoted to police.
And then now
police.
He's going to go be a police officer.
Hopefully he's still, his pension transfers over from teaching to the Florida retirement system, by the way.
I hope so.
Does he think about that or no?
Sure, he probably
that's the middle-aged
mind.
Money right. side. Like, yeah. Is he investing wisely? Does he get to keep his pension? Can we talk about money in baseball?
Yes.
What do you think of the contracts right now?
I think you're worth what someone's willing to pay you.
Yeah.
Truth.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Now, the contracts, so the way the contracts are going now, there is a few that are getting most of the money. So I was more of a middle class sort of player. The things would be much more difficult for me these days. Think of it in this way, maybe. The NBA model is basically like a stars, like I call it the ringers and the rest. And that's the way the model's going in baseball. So, like, you know, you pay a couple of ringers, your three, you know, your big three, and then you kind of fill in sort of the rest. That's what's happening in baseball. And so the owners will say, let's say, spend $50 million a year on Soto. But that $50 million on their budget is now going to come out someone else's contract. They're not going to, like, there's not going to be more money. There's going to be a finite pool that the owners are willing to spend. And if $50 million goes to Juan, then that means if you're a $6 million player, they're going to try to get you for two or three.
Will that $6 million player take that to stay on that team? Will he say, I can find $6 million elsewhere?
No, you end up choking it down. Because there's too many alternatives.
Him, the guy, the player.
Yeah, so think
of it like,
yeah.
This is good, this is great, because we're going to talk about NIL in a second, too.
So, like, you could think of it in, you have to separate yourselves in order to really get paid. The best players. Like, Juan is significantly better than
Juan.
His peers. But once you get to a certain area, and this is no disrespect to the players, but the owners and the front offices will look at them all the same. So Daniel looks like Tyler, and Tyler looks like Eric, and Eric looks like Jason. So I'll come to you, Eric.
You
and
look
say,
way better than I do, by the way. I'm just going to say that. But.
But it'll be, all right, I have a job offer for you on 1 year. And you'll say, I'm not worth that. And they'll say, you're completely reasonable. You can say that. But if you don't take it, I'm going to give it to your buddy. And if when he sits down, that's now no longer a chair for you to sit in. And not to mention, both of you are very similar players. That's now the market for whatever he decides to sign for. You're not going to get significantly more. You wouldn't pay more for a house when one very similar, you know, went for this was sold for this much.
Okay.
And so that's
where. Sorry, you raising your hand?
Yeah. Was there a specific team or certain players that kind of started this trend where it's kind of now ringers and the rest?
Yeah.
Front offices started recognizing that it's better to have one great player if you can, like a Soto or an Aaron Judge, because that allows you to fill in the rest of your roster.
Is that to win games or fill stadiums?
Both. Hopefully, because winning
so one,
brings,
one guy,
yeah,
like a Juan or an Aaron Judge can, like, that one guy can make that big of a difference.
Well, they're willing to stretch themselves, especially the younger you are. So you can, I don't know how closely you pay attention, but the Japanese players that have come over, the pitchers, they're younger because they don't have to go and have 6 years of major league service to become a free agent.
Yep.
So if you're 25 years old, like I now can, I'm willing to sign you for 8 to 10 years because you're going to be 35. Most free agents get there at the age of 30 and are less likely to want to sign you to the age of 40.
Right.
And when you get someone as good as Judge, that now allows you the rest of your roster to find better players. But one Aaron Judge is better than three players who can do the same thing he can, because now you can go and
Moneyball players. Did you like that movie, Moneyball?
Uh-huh.
That was a great movie.
Really good.
I feel bad. He's chomping at the bit. You got legitimate baseball questions. No, you're the biggest baseball guy here.
Going back to Soto, I mean, I think you saw that a little bit with what happened with Pete Alonso.
There you go. Uh-huh.
You know, Soto got all the money. Uncle Steve was, you know, playing chicken with
anyone. Vladimir Guerrero. Right. You just start thinking about the alternatives. What are the alternatives to Pete Alonso? And this is not to say that he's not as good as them. It's just to say we'd be okay with any of you playing first base for us.
Ooh,
Josh Bell, Vladimir Guerrero,
right?
All these players, Christian Walker, who signed.
So then what'd you see? You saw Pete come back for a 2-year deal. Mm-hmm. And
it's always term. It's always going to be length where they get you.
Right.
Because like he's going to get $30 million, which is an insane amount of money.
That's great.
So, but the thing
but
is,
it's a 2-year deal.
If you like 30 twice, then you'll like it 3 times and 4, yeah, maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah.
That's what my agent said. I was like, it's a pretty good line. So Juan likes $50 million. He gets
that
it
is a good line.
14 times or 15 times because of his youth as well. And of how much better he makes you. He's just.
And the trajectory of the career. I mean, you know, I like Pete Alonso. He's a UF guy, but. You know, first baseman, there's a lot of them out there.
Well, that's where you come into the Moneyball aspect, is they're having a better idea of gauging your production. You know what I mean? So Moneyball, it's like first basemans have been, I wouldn't say devalued, but like I said, they more look the same or similar with their production. You can find power now. You know, what's difficult is to find someone who gets on base and can kind of hit for power. That's a Judge or a Juan. Someone like Pete, who's having a great year so far and hopefully keeps going, has not walked as much. So he can get you homers, but he doesn't get on base as much.
Right.
And so in situations, if you can strike out, they're just, he needs to time his homers right if you're hitting homers. Mm-hmm. And if you strike out, what'll happen is the opposing team will look for you in positions. All right, real quick.
Yes,
if you
look at it, do it.
If you look at it last year in the postseason, like Juan is swinging the bat well for the Yankees and Aaron was not swinging the bat as well.
Right.
Where did the Dodgers look to go? They went to go find Judge, even more so with the platoon advantage. So if there was a righty on the mound, you're almost going to pass Juan.
Right.
I'm going to try to get you to swing at a bad ball if you don't walk.
Right.
No big deal. Now I'm going to go for you, Aaron. I got to pick a fight with one of you.
Yeah.
Well, they end up picking a fight with Aaron.
Right.
And so, like, that's just how the game works. They'll find the soft spots, even more so in a short series like that.
Are you still involved? You got more? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, what did you think about that fifth inning?
So as soon as, like, Aaron misplays the ball, and now you're like, you know, we're in a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And I think that once it gets to Garrett, because Garrett aired it out. Like, he's gone. He gets his strikeouts, you know what I mean? Like, he's out of this thing. I think that once he gets that ground ball, he just had this relief and kind of out-of-body experience where, like, I did it. I made it. And he just didn't quite.
He didn't cover first.
And so could Anthony have gotten there? Without a doubt.
That's the question.
Oh, he could have gotten there if he knew that Garrett wasn't going to cover. But when you take the ball with the assumption that he's going to cover secure it first, well, now you're dead. Because he fielded that ball as if he was always going to flip it.
Ifs and buts.
Right.
Ifs and buts.
And so now that, and then, and the margins are so fine then, they're just going to tune you up.
Yeah.
At that point, you get extra outs. You get 2 extra outs, you're dead.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't give, you don't get 5 outs in an inning.
Right.
You'll score a bunch of runs.
Yeah.
Are you still, you're going to ask all your questions. His kids are like huge baseball fans. Yeah. They all wrote down questions to ask. We'll hit those second half. 100%. Dan Forsell, by the way. Are you still involved? Are you part of the association? Like, what do the ties look like after how many years you're vested? You can go to games whenever you want. Like, what's that look like when you retire?
Yeah, I don't do much with the union. There's some guys that'll still reach out and want to talk like union business because I was on the board, the executive board with the union and kind of on the,
you were
some
active.
Of the inner workings of like negotiations, especially through COVID. Like,
yep.
So it's almost like a bargaining, like we bargained through COVID. So some of that. And then the games that I work and I get down to spring training, I'd say probably the my closest tie to the major leagues is I'll just text guys from time to time. Like if I'm like, I was watching Andrew McCutchen last night, and I'm very fortunate. I've got like famous people in my phone, a couple of them, but like Kutch is having an at bat last night on the West Coast. And like Andrew's like younger than me and, you know, but balling.
Yeah.
Like, balling. Longer. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like I have some real, just real, what, infatuation, I guess, or just impressed with somebody who's still going out there to do it the way he is. But he does a check swing last night and like, does an appeal on himself to first base. It's just like a funny thing. Like you play 160 games, like funny thing. And I'm giggling to death. And he already had a homer. So I was like, I'm probably going to shoot him a text. You
know during the game?
Yeah. Well, he'll see it. And I have, since I've been on the circuit, I can kind of get next to the person without being next to him.
Yeah.
Be like, hey man, I'm dying over here. Call a check swing on yourself. I'm dying. And he hit a home run earlier. I was like, cracked a homer, swing that bat as well too. That left-hander didn't want nothing to do with you that last at bat because he walked him. And so I could kind of put myself next to you like a teammate would. And I'll do stuff like that. Like also like if I know an off day's coming, you know what I mean?
How much has that changed? Like when you were playing or even 15, 20 years ago, no one's texting, talking. I think it's cooler, right? You can communicate more whether you're retired or not. Is that better or worse?
I think communication is good, and especially hopefully, and I try to do it in a way that like you can send a response and we'll be, that's it real quick.
Yep.
Or if you ghost me, it's really no big deal, but it's just like, man, I'm like, you don't need to know I'm watching you, you know, but I'm just going to let you know I am. And like what you're doing is pretty cool. Hope everything's going well.
Oh man. Let's see here. We got about a minute left. Any shout outs? I love shout outs. Hi mom, I love you every time.
Shout out.
Let's go shout out to Tori Murphy and Prom Series.
Tori Murphy and Prom Series. We're definitely gonna bring that up second half. Mm-hmm. Doing a great job.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Let's see.
We'll crush it.
You know what? My brother, Jonathan Murphy, Trinity Christian Conquerors, heading the second round of the high school state playoffs.
Okay.
Home won the series. So got a chance to watch them yesterday. So I do that too. I just kind of bounce around to different sandlots. So if you see me at all these ballparks that my boys are playing at, I played at Rondette, San Jose, San Souci. Like I grew up on these streets. And so if you see me, I'm like juggling, or I got a
bat. You're bouncing around,
just walking around. Just like an old...
You're wearing sunglasses and like hide yourself, or you're just walking
like
around?
An old, walking around like an old crooked wolf. You know what I mean? Just trying to teach these kids what's
up. I love it, dude. Oh, man. Daniel Murphy, round two. That's what the hell just happened. Welcome back to the second half of What the Hell Just Happened. If you're on the radio here and you missed the first half, good news is you can catch us on your favorite podcast platform or YouTube under What the Hell Just Happened. Trey, we're on YouTube, right?
We're up and running.
We're up and running. Doesn't matter. Nothing matters, Trey. First half, Daniel Murphy. Golly, I love this dude on so many levels. Not to sound too weird. That's a good dude. That's a good dude.
It was good ball talk.
Baseball talk, coaching talk, parenting talk. We barely scratched the surface. Healthy or not healthy. And then our new favorite segment, Good Dad or Bad Dad. You down?
Do it.
Healthy or not healthy, letting your kids beat you in sports?
I think almost mandatory in some capacity. So we were talking a little bit off air. I saw this study done on baby rats where they wrestle each other. And if the bigger rat is going to beat the smaller rat almost every time, if the smaller rat is not allowed to win at least 30% of the time, he'll stop asking to play. And I've seen that with my kids. Like if you just beat them all the time, they'll stop asking. So I think most mandatory to allow them to win.
Letting them win matters.
Yeah.
Okay. Good dad or bad dad, or healthy or not healthy, both, coaching youth sports.
Oh, healthy. Yes.
Healthy or not healthy, screaming at children from the stands.
Oh, that's no. Better to just watch your children play. Just observe the play and enjoy it because it'll be gone before you know it.
Healthy or not healthy this upcoming season for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'm optimistic.
Good answer.
I'm optimistic.
Good answer. Healthy or not healthy, the future stadium of the Jags?
Healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Healthy or not healthy, the new Glen Kernan clubhouse?
Ooh, looking really good. We were over there the other day. Yeah, it looks really healthy. Be good. Be fun to get out there.
Healthy or not healthy, how much golf you're playing right now?
Probably unhealthy, just because
like too much or not enough?
Not enough.
I'm glad you said that.
Because like I think that Tori would prefer if I had some places to go. I'm at the house quite a bit now, just kind Tori's of loitering like, around. When the golf course is open, I can get out there and skip around. That's my nature.
Yep.
That's my podcast time and my audiobooks. And so without it being open, I've lost a playground.
That's, I didn't think about that. Okay, we'll go good dad or bad dad, taking your son to opening day baseball.
Hope it's good, because we've been doing that. We had a blast. Went to the Rangers this year. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got to be, got treated a little bit like celebrities. A former teammate of mine, Chris Young, who's the president for the Rangers, got us on the field. Oh, and I was talking, I was looking at Noah. Opening day is like, things are buttoned up a bit because there's so many things moving around, right, and there's not really passes. And so it was just me and Noah, like one other reporter.
Oldest
son, Noah, he's 11. Who was born March 31st on opening day when he was born.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so there was no one out there. I was like, Noah, we got the place to ourselves out here watching batting practice. So that was really, really cool.
Incredible.
Good dad or bad dad, daddy-daughter dances. Oh,
good dad.
That's good dad. That's I good love dad. Daddy-daughter dances.
Absolutely.
Good dad or bad dad letting your boys swing a wooden mallet, 42-ounce bat.
I think the heavier the better.
Heavier the better.
Yeah, the heavier the better.
Okay, I love this. Speaking of good dads, this is Dan Forcell, works at 212. It's my guy here. Great dad, like incredible dad. Four daughters, son, adopted son.
Yep.
Which I think is a big deal.
Yep.
In town from Nashville, huge baseball fan. Your kids gave you questions to ask.
They did.
You have to end the last question they asked has to be his, because I love that. That makes the whole of the dialogue. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a treat,
Daniel. Yes.
To be with you. Career stats. I think it's worth a shout out. You had a good body of work.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. No, sincerely, like I'm pleased with it.
Yeah.
It was more than I ever thought I'd get. So like there's a bit of vanity. I'm happy about it.
Well, hey, you should be proud. Almost 21 career WAR. 113 OPS plus career.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah.
Well, it just is like you're like 13% better than your peers. You know what I mean? You can only be better than your peers.
That's healthy.
Yeah.
Career batting average, almost 300.
Almost 300. Uh-huh.
Three-time All-Star.
Yeah, sneaky.
MVP 2 in 2016.
Chris Bryant.
Pesky Chris Bryant beat you out by a little bit.
He beat me really handily, too. He should have been unanimous, but there was one.
There was one vote.
New York reporter.
You got one.
Mike Puma.
Who
came up and told me.
He knows who's you.
He told me. He's like, you know I voted for you. I was like, yeah, that was your fault. You shouldn't have, but I'll take it.
One first place vote. That was awesome. Silver Slugger in 2016 and 17. That's a big deal. NL doubles leader in 2016 and 17,
which was a double.
Doubles leader. I mean, that's that may fly under the radar, but that's
doubles allowed me even like early in my career to stick around because like you got to be able to get to second base from home plate.
Yeah,
scoring position. I mean? And so early in my career, I could hit a double, and then for a couple years, I ran a little bit and stole bases. So I got to second just long enough to where like I could try to learn the league.
You know right. I mean?
And so it really afforded me some opportunities.
OPS leader in 2016.
Guy.
That was solid. And then, of course, 2015 postseason was...
Caught a heater.
Yeah, that was a remarkable stretch. NLCS MVP, one dotted it in the postseason, and just an awesome body of work.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, was, no doubt.
As a baseball fan right there.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's a baseball fan right there.
100%.
So, you know, my family, we love baseball. We're casual fans, but my wife yells at the TV, so that gives you some idea of our level of passion. 4 teenage daughters and an 8-year-old son and varying levels of enthusiasm for the game. And so here are some questions
that they
gave. Have you ever been asked to pitch as a position player?
Oh, good question. And I have not been asked to pitch as a position player. And it's becoming more frequent now where you're seeing position players
when
pitch.
When he gets a runaway.
It was, and to be honest, if I was asked, it would be one of the situations that I just wanted no part of.
You would have said no.
I just didn't want to twirl. No, I would have felt unsafe.
Didn't want to twirl the pill.
No, I didn't want it. I did it as a little leaguer, and that was plenty for me. I prefer offense.
You didn't want to lob in those 48-mile-an-hour.
No, thank you.
Who's got the best clubhouse? Nicest clubhouse? Ooh.
Okay.
Good. These are your kids' questions.
Yeah,
this is great.
Good question. Yankees.
Yankees have the nicest clubhouse.
Yeah, and even beyond just the lockers and kind of where you get to hang out, visiting side, the food is unbelievable. Like in the visiting locker room, it's just, they really just, every option, and some really good food, like steak after the game. It's
can
really
you name
nice.
Two or three other good ones? You're like, that was great.
Yeah. So New York first. Mets, both sides.
Yep.
Citi Field. Okay. Part of it, and a lot of it has to do like who the clubhouse like attendant is, who's the clubhouse manager. Yep. So yeah. Like Tony Carullo, who just got the visiting clubhouse named after him at Citi Field, was the best.
Awesome.
And so he would put on a great show when you
took
would come
care
through.
Of everybody.
Yeah, a really good show.
Nice. You played first, second, and third?
Mm-hmm. A little bit of left once upon a time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, stumbled around out there for a little bit.
Mostly an infield guy.
Mostly infield, yeah.
What'd you like the best?
First base.
Why?
If they gave me a bigger glove, for one, which I much enjoyed. But also, I came up when pitchers still hit. So if you're willing to be aggressive, you could really get the lead runner on some bunts and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you were all NL.
Yeah. So yeah. I came up in the senior circuit. I didn't play in the American League. It used to be an outlaw league in the American League.
Oh, I love it.
So I enjoyed first from, I thought that I was the best at that position. You could really be aggressive there. I was a square peg in a round hole at second base.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't, I just,
yeah.
I was okay and I was passable, but I could really help you, I think, at first base.
Yeah, terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Pick them good?
I was probably, okay picking. More like I was aggressive with trying to get lead runners. Like I would throw balls to places that you probably weren't supposed to.
A lot of hurt, you were aggressive.
I tried to throw somebody out. There's a runner on second. I was playing in, and a left-hander hit the ball. We play in the Yankees, and there's nobody out, and I tried to throw him out at third. It's a tag play.
Yeah.
It's like I threw it, and as soon as I threw it, I was like,
shouldn't have done that.
Poop. I was late, but I was late on it, and I was because I. What happened was I had the whole thing, and I went to throw it, and I traveled with it. You know what I mean? I just got caught in my glove, and right at that point, shut the operation down and take the out.
Yeah,
but I didn't, and gave us a big old mess. Now we're first and third, nobody out. It's a big mess. But I was always trying to do something.
What was
like
the final
that.
Score of the game?
We probably, if it was the Yankees, we probably end up on the wrong side of it. Just in my early days.
Keep going. Right. These are great.
This is my question. Awesome. So mid-career, you seem to add some power. Your swing maybe evolved a little bit, 2015, 16, 17. Did you do anything differently that you can remember?
Yeah. I had a hitting coach, Kevin Long, and also Pat Rossler, that kind of explained it to my unique skill was I didn't swing and miss, which is a good skill to have.
Yeah.
But if you swing at bad balls, it is not a good skill to have because you'll put it in play weakly and you get out, which
ground
is
balls.
So early in my career, I was at the mercy, first off, of whether or not I got good pitches. If I got good pitches, I was going to hit it.
Yeah.
If I got bad pitches, I would make marginal contact because I didn't walk.
Yeah.
So the way Kevin and Pat explained it was, all right, let's get on the plate so that you can pull the ball, because we were talking kind of off air a little bit. Your most damage is going to come to the pull gap. You know what I mean? If you're right-handed, left center field and left field is going to be your most damage unless you're a giant or you take steroids. So let's just assume that most people are neither. And I'm left-handed, so my damage was in right center. So he's like, let's get on top of the plate. We got to be diligent about getting a good ball, and I want you to basically play against the right fielder.
Yeah.
So the way I took it and made it some of my own was I don't want the infielders to catch my batted balls.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
All right. So we want to stay away from strikeouts anyway, but I want no pop-ups, no ground balls.
Yep.
So I want line drives, which is what we're all hunting for.
That's
and if I miss, I want to miss over the infielder's heads.
Right.
And so that, and I had some success. And once I had a little bit of success of like taking swings that were not, that weren't passive, they weren't as aggressive as they could be because I wasn't certain with this kind of new approach. I ended up hitting a homer like one of the first days doing it. And I was like,
I've got
Kevin telling me and Pat telling me, like, take the shackles off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, turn it loose. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And so once I started swinging at good balls that I was centering, you know what I mean? Because I didn't miss a lot and playing against the outfielder, like, I just caught a heater for like, you know, maybe 700 plate appearances.
Oh, Trey's got one.
700 plate appearances.
I love when Trey, if you guys want to ask him, you got to wave.
Quick
can't
question.
See
when you get a new hitting coach or something like that, as a player, bad. Is it provided by the team or do you have to go out and seek that coach? Mm.
So the team has
That's a
one.
Good question.
But then a lot of guys will have people they work out with in the off season.
Okay.
So like a personal sort of hitting coach.
Gotcha.
But then the team also provides one during the season. A major league hitting coach, and most have an assistant, as almost everyone has an assistant major league hitting coach.
Cool.
And they're like therapists if you do it right.
Okay.
Well,
I need to just vent to you for one hour once a week.
Let's just assume that you're not gonna show up to work every day feeling the best you are. But it's his job to to convince you and get you ready to go compete that day. Competition is a choice.
Right.
And so easier to choose to compete when you feel great, but you're not always going to feel great. And so it's his job to just get you ready for that day's ABs. Do something today for the ball club.
Yeah.
And like, so.
Yeah.
Talk you down off the ledge. You know what I mean? Tell you you're the greatest. What even you though you know you're not.
These are great, man.
Favorite These are so good. Yeah. Favorite ballpark?
Chicago Cubs.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's like there. Going back in time.
The Ivy.
The day games, too. Like, I have darker eyes. Not even so
They didn't hesitation. Have lights until when?
Ooh, I want to say. 80s? Yeah, it really? Feels like it. They All still day play, games. They still until, play day games, like, on Friday and stuff, which is, like, cool.
And those rooftops in the outfield, I'd love to go see a game
I see the ball
there.
Better during the day.
Not a second of hesitation. That's what else. No, I love Chicago. Immediately.
I love it.
Did you hit more home runs in Colorado?
No, I actually didn't hit many home runs in Colorado. I was the only guy that must have gone out to Denver and his batting average went down.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an anomaly. Yeah, everybody hits the ball in Colorado.
I never saw the ball great there, which I probably should have thought of before I signed in there. We signed there for 2 years. But I didn't ever feel as comfortable there as I did in other batter's boxes and kind of just observing.
You know, the handicap ballparks I was surprised recently to see that I think it was the Mariners ballpark that's least hitter friendly.
I could see that. It's a big place.
Yeah.
Where the air can get a little thick out there as well, too, in the Pacific Northwest.
You saw the Luis Arias collision. Yeah. What do you think about safety at first? You know, Little League has double bags.
No, thanks.
In the major leagues.
No. In general.
Yeah. Even for Little League.
They'll sort it.
I don't think so either.
I'm not the hugest fan of face masks for the they used to wear just hats.
Yeah,
I almost pulled out some old baseball cards. We looked at baseball cards, the old helmets.
Heck yeah, they're just
like not even
catcher's helmet. Yeah, like Mickey Mantle wore.
We'll finish those. Don't talk about like all right, sliding
mitts.
All
couple
the
more
stuff.
Quick ones. Dude, couple more. These are my kids. My kids are gonna eat this up. This
I
is
love
awesome.
This. That's Shout all, out. This is
so
incredible.
Another question from one of my daughters. What team has the meanest fans?
Philly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we love the Braves. We hate the Phillies. So
yeah, that's kind of it. And like the New Yorkers can get.
Yeah,
like
Mets.
They can get on your butt. They're it's Philly's not quite
mean.
Like Philly.
Philly's mean.
Like if Philly will get ruthless on their own lads as well too.
Yeah,
like they'll just no one is off. They did it to Santa Claus, so like so they're no one is off limits. Like now, the New York fans will undress a visiting player, which is like you're glad they're on your side.
Yeah, well, sure. You know, I growing up Braves fan, you know they, you know. Chipper would go up there and they chant Larry, you know.
And then he'd wreck them.
Yeah, oh, he'd wreck them.
That's a good one. These are great questions, man.
Trevor Plouffe.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I listen to his podcast.
Yeah,
he's
he does a good job. He does,
he does a great job.
Yeah, Chris Rose, he does one with him. He's all over the place.
Yeah, he's on the talking baseball stuff. And he's starting to announce for the Twins. Mm-hmm. And you're doing some announcing. Did you guys play together?
We played against each other. Yeah, I remember playing against Trev.
Yeah.
When he was in Minnesota. And then I forget now where he finished up. Not finished up after that, but I remember him definitely in Minnesota.
He's definitely a Minnesota guy. Yeah, Minnesota guy. Third baseman, I think. Yeah. But
he went stiff. He went in the first round. He's like famous when he was young.
That's what he keeps talking about on his podcast. He's talking about the high school in Southern California
he was
days.
Famous from a young age.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That sounds exhausting.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so this is a question from my 8-year-old son. He's playing coach pitch. You know, he is the only thing he is more passionate about than the game of baseball at 8 years old is his Christian faith. Mm. And he wants to know, would it be possible for a major leaguer to say, I'm sorry, but I can't play on Sundays?
Yes. The answer to that question is yes. I'm wondering if that we could use the talents that God gave us to give him glory on that Sunday.
Mm.
And also to your son, when he gets to the big leagues, we have church every Sunday because we have chapel. And so we all get, anyone who wants to, we come together and we go to church and we pray for each other. We get closer to Jesus. And then we go out there and compete like our hair's on fire, but hopefully for God's glory. Not all the time, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's for my glory. So yes, to answer his question, you could, but I think it's more beneficial to go out there and try to kick the crap out of the other team, you know, with, you know, and you can do that and they can know that you're doing it for Jesus as well too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eric Liddell was the great track athlete from the United Kingdom back in 1930s or 40s, and he wouldn't run on Sundays. And a world class athlete, and it cost him. Mm. You know, that was his personal conviction. Have you ever come across a player that that felt that way about competing on Sunday, or heard of?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, I think that we've gotten so modern now, and maybe that's a way for us to take a step back and slow down a little bit. But no, that it not really brought up that way.
Yeah.
Just more like let's get to chapel. You know what I mean? Like, let's go talk to our God and then go play.
Yeah. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
I got
answer.
One real quick.
Yeah.
It's faith-based. I'm glad this came up. This is gold. Great question. What percentage of the clubhouse players are believers or any faith of religion, right? I'm a Christian. We talk about this openly all the time, but.
So if we're running 25 guys in the clubhouse, we would have anywhere from 5 to 12 to 15, maybe in like chapel coaches as well too. So 30, like the coaches come in and, and so anywhere from probably 5 to 12 to 15. And then we would meet on the roads as well too. The road is an easy place to get together. You know, your families aren't with you all the time.
You're in a hotel.
They may be coming, but you can find a road city where it's like, let's get, you know, I'll order room service and let's talk about Jesus. You know what I mean? Get a little bit of a refresher here. It's just the season comes at you every single day.
Do teams have a chaplain, or is it just player led, coach led?
It could be. So we have a chaplain on Sunday.
Okay.
Certainly. Our chaplain in New York married my wife and I. Callie,
oh, no kidding.
Wow.
All
right.
Terrific. So, cool. Like, that was our relationship. Like, that's when I think of Sundays. That's the way I think. Day game with chapel. You know what I mean? And so, that's the way we did it. So, each one. So, Baseball Chapel is an organization that provides a chaplain for each major league team, minor league team, and they try as best they can to do in Spanish speaking countries in Latin America and Spanish speakers on site for the Spanish players. So
terrific.
they do baseball chapel and PAO are kind of like our church. It's another organization that's in professional baseball. Like, those are our churches during the season.
Got it. Fascinating. Yeah. Insight.
Oh, I thought you good? No, never mind. I thought Trey had a question there.
Well, thanks for letting me answer. Ask all my questions.
Those are great questions.
Yeah, those were fun. So good. Your kids came up with all that.
Yeah, that's what I got. I got a text message say, "Hey, you're talking to Daniel Murphy. Here's what I got."
I love it.
It's cool.
Those are great questions.
Last couple minutes here. What's on the horizon? More golf. We heard
a little bit more golf.
Prom series.
Yeah, my wife. So we're doing, let's see, what do we got here? Prom.
Great organization.
Yeah, so my wife's charity, Prom Series, she is focused on girls, middle school and high school age girls that are in the foster care system. It started off as prom dresses that would be provided for them. And the way my wife provided them for them was bring girls that were in Denver to the ball field when we were there in 2019, get a suite, and then add in all the wives and girlfriends of the players, and then they would go and grab a girl, and
they
come from the foster care system,
awesome.
Get their hair and makeup done, pick a dress out, you know what I mean, try it on, and so that she's done that in probably 10 or 15 stadiums at least. And then when COVID happened, she couldn't get on in the stadiums anymore because they were closed out. So she pivoted to a back to school drive. So if you're in LA, let's say when Justin Turner's wife was there, Courtney, she would go shopping, and the clothes that she would pick out would be for a girl that was in the foster care system in LA. And then so the girls will send in, like, this is what I would like if you could. And so now, like,
shoes, hats,
like,
shirts.
Yeah, the like wives go out and shop for them. So
those are
her two main events that she's done. And so we've got prom coming up right now. So she's coordinating those in major league stadiums. And the way she'll do it finally is if there are girls on site that are in the foster care system at the stadium, she likes to go. Because there'll be other events hosted where they may be packing up back to school outfits and stuff like that, where there aren't, you know, it's just the wives and fiancés. But if there's ever girls on site, then Tori, she'll go. So
that's really cool.
It's awesome.
It's been fun to watch her run and express herself.
Well, and those girls will never forget that. Mm-hmm. That is such a bright spot and sometimes a tough time. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Yep. She has a heart for the orphans, as you do as well.
Yeah, as we all should. That's right.
Do you you get offered a full time job to speak at every game for the Mets? Do you take that?
No. Again, no. So you, you can ask whatever. That's not true. That's just more towards like I want to travel. I still want to pick my own friends for a little while longer.
Yep. Young kids, hanging with the crew. Yep.
Yeah, it's not, and like I love talking baseball. Like the idea of being a hitting coach or a manager or even like calling games sounds like great fun to get back on the circuit. But like the circuit is unforgiving.
It's
like you're away from your family, and there's no halfway. Mm-hmm. Like I would feel it'd be a disservice if I went to go be a hitting coach for whatever ball club, and I'm not all the way in.
Yep.
Because you just there's no half measures. You just get found out. And it won't be enjoyable. Question.
Right.
Trey's been chomping at the bit. I think your mic died, by the way.
Oh, well, no, it was camera for a second. But quick question. Earlier you talked about parent, just enjoy the fun. Mm-hmm. But does Daniel Murphy ever watch his kids and get a little nervous?
I get nervous. But yeah. Nervous because I want them to do well.
Okay.
But not nervous that they're going to do poorly and disappoint me. I'm never surprised if when they miss. Ever. Yeah. Your child spends 35 hours a week in school. Mm. They're good at school and following our directions, maybe. But like we don't play enough sports. The more we get it, the better they'll get. So when it goes through their legs or they swing and miss, like, yeah, that's whatever. That's
this
pros do it too.
Love it. I love
this man coaching. Like, you're great at coaching too. Like, his demeanor is chill. Mm. It's most us other dads who didn't play professional sports who are like,
a little more uptight.
The most stoic, chill, down to earth. Oh, it's incredible.
The same way that your heart rate won't spike when you're in the middle of a negotiation, you know, in the health industry and doing that over something. It's like, I've seen a lot of baseball games and played them. And so that does spread across sport in general. And so hopefully, like when the situations get most tense, hopefully I've trained myself to like, not that the other coaches don't or you don't, it's just I know the way I go about it. It's like when things start going haywire, I want to be as steady as can be, because it's going to allow me to help focus on where I need to be next. You know what I mean? I need to take the meat from what the play just happened, but I can't take that foot play fully with me, because if I'm doing the play before me, I can't be fully in the play that I'm in right now. So I want the meat, leave the dross, and be fully present. Because the only way you get what you want is you got to be fully present. And then you have to learn, fully present, I still might not get what I want, even when I give everything I have. And then you got to learn how to be okay with that.
Mm.
And so, like, that's the cool part.
Healthy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
man. Good. Oh, my least favorite part. We're out of time.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Daniel Murphy. Love this man. Friend of mine, I would say.
Terrific.
Heck of an athlete, great dad, great husband, many things. Dan Forsell joined us today.
Great question. Buddy. What a treat. What a treat.
Shout out Dan's kids. Wonderful questions.
Now they get to watch it and look at it and see it. Thank you for joining us. You crush it every time. I'm going to cut open this box of baseball cards and see what happens. But anyways, that's what the hell just happened. Yeah.